Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources Quarter Two 2007 Financial Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting to Ms. Aurora Davidson, Chairman. Ms. Davidson, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second quarter 2007 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Thursday, August 2nd, 2007. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievement of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievement expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday, our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, as well as the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. I would like now to introduce our Chairman, Mr. Steven Dean.
Thanks, Aurora. Good morning, everybody. Just like to introduce the participants on this call. Firstly, as you just heard from Aurora Davidson, our CFO, Dr. Klaus Zeigler is on the line, our President, and myself, Chairman. It's with pleasure that I present the quarterly results for the quarter to June 30, 2007. It contains a couple of records. Our cash flow was particularly strong during the quarter. We had $12.4 million of cash flow, up 20% from the corresponding period in last year of $10.3 million in Q2 2006. Also our copper production was a record at 9.31 million pounds, up 42% from the corresponding quarter. That's largely a reflection of the return to normalized production levels as a result of the difficulties and shutdowns that we had to deal with in relation to tailings flow from El Teniente in the last 12 months. The quarter also had us declaring a dividend earlier this week of $5.8 million, or approximately 0.065 per share. That's continuing our commitment to shareholders to generate not just a capital return, but a dividend return on a basis of our earnings levels as and when we generate them. Our earnings levels for the period were $10.3 million, a little lower than the corresponding period of $12.4 million in 2006, primarily due to the fact that we had slightly lower copper prices in this most recent period and higher power costs as a result of the energy issues that are widely acknowledged in Chile. That earnings per share represents approximately $0.11 fully diluted per share in comparison to about $0.13 in the same period last year. Our gross copper selling price was $3.27, a little lower than the LME average, the $3.47. I'm sorry, that was sounds like a technical problem, but it seems to have ceased. A little lower than the LME price average, and that reflects the settlement adjustments, which relates to lower copper prices in the previous quarter. Realized copper price, meaning net of smelter and refinery charges and settlement adjustments to prior quarter sales, was approximately $2.97 per pound. Our cash costs before the Teniente royalty were $1.19 per pound in comparison to 90 cents a pound, once again reflecting higher power costs but also lower molybdenum byproduct credits as a result of slightly lower moly production. But on the other hand, costs were lower because of higher production levels, and this, as we've said in many occasions in the past, the secret to lower costs for MVC is to boost production levels because of the fixed to variable cost economy of scale equation, and so we're enjoying slightly lower unit costs per pound due to higher production levels, but also a significant reduction in smelter and refinery costs, which took effect in partway through April of this year as a result of the renegotiation of those terms a little late this year because of the production shortfall from the previous refining and smelting year, where the quota had to be delivered from 2007 production for 2006 quota commitments. So we've finally got the benefit of those lower terms. We're not the only one, of course. The international terms did reduce significantly between 2006 and 2007. We also enjoy sharing the benefits of the fact that we don't have to ship our concentrate out of the country like many, many other producers, and therefore carry the cost of ocean freight, and ocean freight in recent times has been particularly high. In fact, it's increased again in the last month or two. But we share the benefits of not having to ship it because we have our concentrate smelted and refined in-country at the Ventana smelter in Chile. Total costs were $1.85 compared to $1.51, once again primarily related to the higher cash costs that I talked about. And as we know, we're a fairly unique producer insofar as our total costs include a royalty paid to El Teniente for receiving their source material, and that royalty is based on a formula which is related to the copper price and the moly price, and when we receive the benefits of higher prices, of course our costs are higher. It works in reverse as well, and we think that's one of the things that makes a strong investment case for Amerigo, insofar as when and if those costs, those prices do fall, our costs will fall also. In the quarter, we are pleased to say that we became approximate 10% holder of an emerging junior called Candente Resources. We participated in a financing of Candente's during the quarter, and very much supportive of Candente management and their exploration track record, and are very excited for the prospects for the Kenyuraco deposit in Peru, which is 100% owned by Candente. Capital, CapEx during the quarter was $1.4 million, primarily we're taking the opportunity whilst we're not at maximum production levels to take mills, the old mills, out of production, out of the circuit, and commence complete refurbishment such that we'll have all eight mills all in good shape by the time we can hit our straps and enjoy the benefit of not just the fresh, but also of a ramp-up to full production from Kaliwet. Our cash balance is approximately $28-29 million U.S. dollars. That's, of course, increased since June 30. And, of course, we have marketable securities in the form of our Candente investment of approximately $8.6 million. That cash balance is after dividend payments during the quarter of $5.3 million and $7.2 million for capital expenditures on a year-to-date basis. Be very happy to open now the call to questions. Aurora, Klaus, and I look forward to receiving your questions, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset and then press star 1. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. First question is from Mr. Jason Schacht, phoning from Milwaukee. Please go ahead.
Good morning or afternoon, everybody. I was wondering if you guys could elaborate a little bit on the power situation there and what steps you might be taking to help alleviate the higher power costs.
Thank you. I should hasten to add that we are only a small player in the Chilean energy status. There are many bigger users and bigger mine and base metal producer and mining producer users of energy than we are. For some reason, we've attracted, with the openness of our disclosure, we've attracted and been the poster child in some respects for the power status in Chile. So, you know, residential users and all industrial users are having to deal with higher energy costs, and they relate, for those who aren't aware, they relate primarily to constraining of gas supply from Argentina, the traditional supplier, to Chile, which supplements, particularly for the northern areas of Chile and the northern grid, supplements the national grid supply. The majority of production source or energy source in central and southern Chile is hydro. So the combination of the constrained supply, and that got worse as the year has gone by, combined with the seasonal nature of the hydro contribution to the grid, because hydro, as everyone knows, is dependent upon rainfall and water flow. And as we move finally into winter in Chile, the amount of energy generated from hydro sources increases, and what we're witnessing here in this second quarter is very much a seasonal factor, and we project that energy costs will fall in the second half as they traditionally do, with the supplementation of energy supply to the grid from hydro. But what is different about this year is the constrained supply from Argentina. We understand that Chile is working vigorously towards supplementing that supply side through a number of new generation projects, particularly on the hydro side, and they're projected to come on stream over the next couple of years, in addition to a massive LNG terminal on the coast whereby LNG gas will be imported from various supplier countries around the world and will be supplemented to generate energy into the national grid, and that also is scheduled to come on stream in the next couple of years. In terms of what we are doing ourselves, we of course aren't just sitting back and doing nothing about the situation. We are investigating with some haste what our other options might be, including looking at generating our own energy from diesel or other heavy oil fueled generating systems. The challenge will be to work out what at what point that becomes economic, and that's largely dependent upon whether these new energy sources that I've alluded to into the Chilean grid come on stream on time or not, and that's something that we'll make an assessment of over the next next month or so. Clark, do you want to add to any of that?
Well, I think that's pretty extensive. On the last thing, one of the things which we are looking at is to use some power generation based on either bunker sea oil or other cheap oil. This is mainly an environmental question, whether we will be able to get environmental permit for that. But there are some examples in our region, and particularly in the north, which use such cheap oil, and that makes a significant difference. One can get the environmental approval for that, reduce power costs very significantly from the present levels. So we are investigating that on a high priority right now.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Aldridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Just a couple of things. I see that Methanex is going to restart its methanol plant in Chile, so that implies that there is going to be plenty of gas around. That's one comment I'd like to make. The other one is, when can we expect Collahuasi to start providing some feed?
We have been, as we were saying before, we have been in very close contact with El Teniente. I would say that we have, together with El Teniente, have made quite good progress in solving all the various questions, mainly environmental questions, and I would think that we should be able to report on the final solution on that pretty soon.
Okay, that's good to know. I guess too, just going on the power thing again. Hasn't Chile had a lot of snow in the mountains this winter?
No, I have been skiing 3 weeks ago, and there was hardly anything there.
Just because Codelco said that they had trouble getting one of the mines restarted because of the amount of snow and getting workers in.
Well, you could have a snowstorm for one day, and then you have the problem of getting workers in. But the amount of precipitation has been significantly lower than in other years up to now. Okay. Now this may still change. It may still just be a delay in the rain and snowfall. because I mean, you know, the winter is certainly not over.
Mm-hmm.
But up to recently, the precipitation was significantly below average.
I know. Well, I guess that's not going to be good then for hydro power if it stays that way.
Yeah, and that is one of the reasons why the power costs have been high in the past quarter.
Okay. Well, you answered my questions, so that's fine. No, somebody else now.
Thank you. The next question is from Percy Mussels from Oakland. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Along the lines of the last question, is water availability an issue, particularly in gaining access to the colliways?
No. Since we have built the two thickeners, water is no problem at all for us anymore, because we are basically recirculating all the water. And we have lots of water in Colliwis itself, so water is absolutely no problem.
Okay, thank you. Could you also comment on the relative grades of the old tailings versus the new tailings that you're currently using?
Well, the old tailings, as we have stated in the past, will be significantly higher in grade. One of the reasons why we had a very good production quarter last quarter was that the fresh tailings grades were a little bit higher than normal, in the 0.12 percent range, but the old tailings in Colliwis will be in the 0.25 to 0.3% range.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Barry Simpson from Richmond. Please go ahead.
Good day, gentlemen. Couple questions. Why do you feel purchasing shares of El Dente is a better investment than buying back shares of Amerigo?
I don't think it's a matter of one or the other. The answer is we will opportunistically do both.
Where is the buyback program now and for the future?
We don't disclose other than the required regulatory filing. We don't disclose pricing levels, but do we know the number of shares we bought back so far in the program?
Well, I believe it's 776,000 shares, but in your last quarterly statement, you said you were looking at the market purchasing back several million.
Well, no, that's, with all due respect, what that is under the Canadian law, we have to have a level that is a maximum, and that is the maximum, not the amount that we will buy, because
okay.
that, of course, depends on the share price.
Okay. Do you plan on buying back more shares in the next?
Subject to the share price, yes.
I'm sorry?
Subject to the share level of the stock price, yes.
Okay, then if we go to that, do you feel the shares are undervalued at the current price?
We don't comment on that. You've got plenty of analysts who would express their opinion. Some would say that yes, it's very deep value, and others say that it's not.
I can't believe that you couldn't give a statement of what if you felt your shares are undervalued.
Well, you tell me what the copper price should be for the next 5 years.
I don't know what the copper price based on status quo.
If the copper price stays where it is,
definitely undervalued.
If the copper price stays where it is, which is what your assumption is, I think,
yes.
Then yes, we are undervalued.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Shulton from New York. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Nice quarter. At one point, you were talking about potentially hedging out your Moly price, I think, and I was wondering if you gave any additional consideration to that, or if you have any plans to do that.
As you probably know, Michael, there's no quoted market for Moly. And so you know, it's not like copper where you can put some forward contracts in place through the terminal market like LME. But we continue to look at what the options might be. Any discussion we've had has always had us receiving a heavily discounted price to the current price.
Okay.
And so far our decision not to hedge has been very much the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you talk a little bit more about Cadente? I mean, do you foresee a strategic relationship there going forward, given that Klaus is on the board? And, you know, could you talk a little bit about potential time frames? I guess the when they might start production, et cetera?
Sure.
Well, Michael, what we saw in Candente is that, first of all, there is a huge resource there. I mean, you know, they have quoted something like 800 million plus tons. I wouldn't be surprised if that number will not even go higher. And what particularly interested us, and, you know, we don't know where this cooperation will lead to, but what interested us is that they seem to be able to define a smaller starter pit situation of about 100 million tons at significantly higher grades than the average grade of the deposit, and a project on that basis of 100 million tons leachable material with grades of about 0.6 plus percent is a very, very interesting resource. And this could probably be done in a very short time frame. So this is what attracted us, and now we will see where it will lead us. The relationship between the management of Candente and ourselves is very good, and so we look at it very positively.
And if I can add to that, Klaus, the strategic fit is one whereby the Candente management team, Joey and Freddie, are renowned successful explorers, they've been responsible for the discovery of one or two significant ore bodies in their careers, and this may well be another one. And it's great to back people with that track record and skill level. But the president and CEO, Joey Fries, would say, if she was on the call, that one of the things that Candente lacks is development experience, operating experience, and financing experience. And she sees that Klaus and I in particular, but the Amerigo team generally offers her some further depth in those development, operating, and financing areas, and we're pleased to help out in those areas, and that's partly through Klaus's appointment to the board. I'm on their finance committee with a view to adding value to what we think is a very potentially very exciting deposit, and the first stage was for us to look at a 10% position. It may well make sense for us to increase that position, It also may make sense for us to look at other alternatives, including higher levels of ownership as well as other alternatives, including joint ventures and so forth. So, but for now, we're getting to know each other and things are going really well.
Okay. Well, great. It sounds like a really interesting investment. That's all my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting to Mr. Stephen Dean.
Well, thanks, everybody. It was great to have as many questions as we did, particularly in this summer holiday month. As I said earlier, we're pleased to present to you such a strong quarter from a financial perspective and pleased to say that we believe we're over the production hiccups that we were frustrated by over the last 12 months, and we look forward to ramping up our production as promised and continuing to generate very, very strong financial returns, dividend returns, and capital returns. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation, and have a nice day. Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation, and have a nice day.